Welcome to another My Tunes podcast, right here at manxradio.com.
Mark Tiley, the nation's station, Manx Radio.
The last time my Tunes guest was in this studio was about 10 years ago, trying to work it out. And then I'd have introduced her as Marlene Hendy with the wonderful Dilys Sowry playing music together. She's here on her own. Please welcome now Marlene Masker. Welcome to My Tunes.
Thank you. It's so good to be here, Mark. Thanks for inviting me.
It's good to have you back. It's been a while.
It has. It seems a lifetime away.
So much to talk about, because I've been doing a bit of reading and a bit of chatting to people about you. So I've done a bit of research. It's never wasted, is it?
Hopefully not, no.
No, no.
It always gives you a good foundation.
Let's talk about Ramsey. Let's talk about growing up. Let's talk about your Manx roots. You're a Manx girl.
I am, born and bred, born in 1952. I don't mind anybody knowing that. I've always been interested and in music and loved to sing from very early years. I used to stand on a stool and sing for sixpence, which was quite a lot then. Yeah.
Who was paying?
Well, we lived in a large former boarding house on the South Promenade in Ramsey. And it was so big, my dad's sister and her family, we shared the house. So they lived in one half of the house and we lived in the other. That was mum and dad and my sister and I, and then my brother came along later. But my cousins were all older than us, and so some of them were working, and I could go and visit their half of the house, and they'd say, come on, Marlene, sing us a song. And I used to, when mum was doing her daily routine chores, I'd sit and listen to music while you worked, and so I knew everything that was kind of in what they call the pop charts and I would have all sorts of songs I could sing from a very early age, from about three. I used to do this.
Oh, bless you!
I know, and very happy times.
Yeah.
And the summers always seemed long living on the promenade, and I suppose that's where my love of the built environment came. When I was 11, we were compulsory purchased for demolition when they were going to then build the new Lazare estate at the other side of town. We owned our property, so we then had to find somewhere else to live. But to see property being knocked down around us, a lot of which was quite sound and really good Victorian and late Georgian stock. Some was really not fit for habitation, but now that kind of property would be retained and offered for upgrading or multiple occupancy. So my dad and his brothers were builders, and when I came into teens, that's I used to go to work with dad. But lovely sunny times, and one of my best friends was a girl called Deirdre Moore, and her parents ran the Saddle Hotel. They were publicans, and in those days, the Saddle Hotel is where nightlife then succeeded, and now I think it's been converted into apartments. But Deirdre and I were really best friends, and the first disc I ever bought was jointly with Deirdre. We clubbed together our pocket money, and we went and bought I Want to Hold Your Hand. And I think it was over 6 shillings, I think. And we played it continuously. But then I realised she got the better deal, because she had the record player and we didn't yet have one in our house.
It's very funny you've chosen that. That was the first record I was ever given for Christmas. And I can tell you, the B-side, This Boy. I love the B-side as well. Yeah, beautiful song on the B-side. Yeah. So we're going to talk about the Guild tomorrow. We're talking about more singing, and we're certainly going to talk about conservation, because you've already hinted at it and your role in that a little later on. But let's take today's track. Here it is then. It's the Beatles, and I Want to Hold Your Hand.
I wanna hold your hand. I wanna You let me hold your hand. Now let me hold your hand. I wanna hold your hand. And when I touch you, I feel happy inside. It's such a feeling that my love. Such a feeling that my love.
My guest this week is no stranger to the studios, although we knew her in those days as Marlene Handy. Marlene Masker, as she is right now, is with me for My Tunes, and I'm delighted we've got you back. It's been too long, Marlene.
Oh, well, it yes.
It has been too long.
I'm busy, but it's great to be back. Thank
and we
you.
Need to talk a load about LegCo a little later on in the week. Politics. She's in politics, you know. We'll talk about that. But today, I really want to focus on the man in folk, you and three men.
Yes.
And you singing your heart out. I've already played some on the show, by the way. And honestly, beautiful stuff. And you, let's not deny it, that band was big on the Isle of Man.
We were. It was funny because these three guys advertised for a girl singer, and my mum had hidden the Courier with this little advert in, and one of my jobs on a Saturday was to set the fire, as we call it.
Yeah.
And as you do when you're sorting stuff out, I was reading through all the classifieds, and I went running out to the kitchen. I said, Mum, there's somebody wanting a girl singer. And she said, I thought I'd thrown that paper out. I knew you'd be after it. So anyway, I went, I auditioned, and that's where it started, really. When we first set out, we were called the Travelling People. And that stuck for about a year. And then we thought we needed something a little bit more that identified with some of the material we were doing, the Manx music. And so we took a straw poll of people who used to come and listen to us already. And the Man in Folk emerged. And gosh, I remember when we were all still alive, we had a 40th anniversary and performed at the Masonic Hall in Ramsey, and that was a really brilliant night.
But you know, you'd been through the Guild, you'd done all sorts of things, so you were ready. But how old were you when you joined them?
I'd just finished O-levels and I was going into the sixth form, and that's why my mum didn't really want me to have a distraction.
Yeah, but you still went away to university?
I did,
And kept in touch and carried on for many, many years with that band.
Yes, well, They were brilliant years, and the tourist season was still in its heyday, and we played in big venues as well as small. Lots of hotels along Douglas Promenade, down south at Bradder Glen. We used to play the Magic Stick, as it was called, the Majestic Hotel. We'd do their midnight cabaret. We did the Beach Hotel in Ramsey. We did their cabaret, and then we'd go from there up to Douglas. But when I went to university, it was a while before I made my mind up what I really wanted to do. But I used to come back on the boat, and one of the boys would pick me up and we'd go and play. And during those years, we played as support to quite a few people in our time. We were playing at the Gaiety. We backed Julie Felix, the show bands coming from Ireland. And I suppose one of the highlights for us was the Dubliners coming. I think the Douglas Rugby Club organised the first time. and the venue was the Lido. I think it was the Lido, not the Palace Ballroom then. But they did come twice and we were their support band, and quite a great experience. They'd be backstage and Francie joined them, but they'd have a bottle of whiskey between the three or four or five of them before they went on stage. And I was a bit gobsmacked because I was quite young and naive at this time. But great night and big audience, big audience, probably 2,000 people in that hall.
Amazing experiences. But you also, I mean, you recorded a lot of material, some of which you recorded in Ireland.
Yes, we went to the Eamon Andrews Studios. And we did some gigs while we were there.
Oh, brilliant.
And but it was really funny because the Eamon Andrews Studios, I think it was near St. Stephen's Bridge. And it was great technology then. They had a 16-track deck and we'd never seen anything like that. I think the nearest we'd seen was something like four or maybe eight. And but it used to build up static. And so they used to get a rubber mallet and bang the deck to get rid of the static. And there was one day, Francie Lovin, he used to like a bet on the horses. We've listened to the horses on Manx Radio.
Oh, the Friday Flutter.
Yeah, the Friday Flutter. And he said, oh, no, because it was picking up the local radio and it was the horse results, the racing results. And he said, oh, no, don't stop. He said, I've got a bet on this race. And so they let him hear the results and then knocked the static out of the deck. But one of the greatest, most generous people. And so talented as well.
Brilliant. Let's have today's track. I think I know where we're going. You tell us.
Well, this is a Dubliners song. Luke Kelly, who I had the privilege to support. And in a way, it goes full circle because some of my later singing escapades have been singing as part of the Manx contingent that goes and sings at the Pan-Celtic competition. And so for the very first time, that competition was taken to Derry in Ulster in Northern Ireland. It had always been held south of the border. And so I went and I sang there and I did quite well. But to see such a beautiful city, this song really means a lot to me, walking the walls of Derry and bringing home to me the suffering that went on in the troubled times. But Luke Kelly, his voice is so unique and poignant. So I'd love to have that.
The town I loved so well.
Thank you.
Gas yard wall, and we laughed through the smoke and the smell. Going home in the rain, running up the dark lane, past the jail and down behind the fountain. Those were high in so many, many ways, in the town I loved so well. In the early morning, the shirt factory horn called women from Creggan, the moor and the bog, while the men on the dole played a mother's role, feathered the children and then trained the dog. And when times got tough, there was just about enough, but they saw it through without complaining. Inside was a burning pride in the town I loved so well.
music there in the derriere, like a language that we all could understand. I remember the day that I earned my first pay, when I played in a small pickup band. There I spent my youth, and to tell you the truth, I was sad to leave it all behind me. For I'd learned about life, and I'd found a wife in the town I loved so well. When I returned, how my eyes have burned to see how a town could be brought to its knees by the armored cars and the bombed out bars and the gas that hangs on to every breeze. Now the army's installed by that old gas yard wall, and the damned barbed wire gets higher and higher. With their tanks and their guns, oh my God, what have they done to the town I loved so well? Now the music's gone, but they carry on, for their spirit's been bruised, never broken. They will not forget, but their hearts are set on tomorrow and peace once again. For what's done is done, and what's won is won, and what's lost is lost and gone forever. I can only pray for a bright, brand new day in the town I love so.
At the beginning of the week, with my guest, Marley Masker, we talked about a bit of conservation, primarily because your house got demolished when you were a fairly young girl. But did that have an impression on you? Because, Marley, you did end up as conservation officer, didn't you?
I did. I was the Isle of Man's first building conservation officer. But my dad was one of nine children. They had a lot of hardship in their childhood because their father, he was a fisherman and a farmer, he died in the 1918-19 flu epidemic. So it's strange the way things come back in life. But I loved when Daddy had a workroom at the back of our house, still on the promenade, and I go in the evenings. We didn't have a telly until I was about six or seven. I go and sit and watch Dad in his workshop. He was a master mason, builder by trade, but he was quite a good joiner too. And so I'd hold the end of a piece of wood and he'd be sawing it. And I felt really drawn into this. And then as I got older, they let me go to work. You wouldn't be allowed to now. And it was when I was singing with Man in Folk, because I'd be going to work with Dad in the day, in the summer holidays, and loving it and coming home with paint and mortar in my hair, because I had long hair, and then going out singing with Man in Folk. Great days. And then when I'd qualified as an architect and I was back on the island, my dad and his brothers had retained the ability to use lime mortar, and I knew those skills were still with him. And the interest in conservation, I did a postgraduate conservation diploma at distance at Bournemouth University, but I knew that there was a real need for this, as I kept seeing buildings. Well, our house was demolished and concrete frames were put up in their place, and I had a real interest. So I did that, and the Manx government were really supportive of my extending my training. And so I was conservation officer for 10 years, and very challenging times, because you can't please everyone. There's always someone, when it comes to a planning application, there's always someone who might not be happy with that. But you have to be strong and choose your battles. And but then when my family came along, as they were growing up, I felt the time had come when I needed to pare my career and move on to other things and be a little bit more local and be available for them as well.
And I guess the thing is, you can't save every building. You can't save every structure. Things do change. So, as you said, you don't fight all the battles, but you hopefully win the war.
Yes. And I'd like to think that when I was conservation officer, I won quite a few battles and set a strong precedent for those that then came after me. Unfortunately, after I had gone from that post, and when the economic downturn came, grants that had been available, and I fought for them in my time, they no longer became available because the economy couldn't support that. And so I see that as a current problem, to try and help people maintain and upgrade and support the historic fabric that remains in our, especially in our towns and village settlements. So we are now looking forward, new administration, green and climate change is really important. And there's what we call embodied carbon in our existing buildings, that if you demolish a building, you lose that embodied carbon and you upset the formula of climate change that we are all really trying to get that balance now. So I'm hopeful that I'll be able to help in that way as well.
It's a very good way of linking into our song for the day, which is John Denver.
Yeah.
Lovely choice of song. And any particular reason for it?
I've loved it from the beginning when it first... I still am a great John Denver fan, and really, I suppose, I think now, as we've talked about climate change, if he had not sadly died when he did, I could see him being out there, being such a pioneer, a bit like Sir David Attenborough, someone who really felt passionately about our environment. And so my children have grown up with this as well. And in our house, it would be on top notch. And then when my children are all in their late 20s, early 30s now, but when we're all together back at home, if I'm going to pick, say, my son up from the airport, and Sarah and Lucy are with me, we'll be in the car. This will be on the sound system, turned up full pelt, and it just lifts everybody's spirits, and we just love it.
Let us go to sea with John Denver.
Sail on a dream on a crystal clear ocean, to ride on the crest of a wild raging storm, to work in the service of life and the living, in search of the answers to questions unknown, to be part of the movement, part of the growing, part of beginning to understand. Places you've been to, the things that you've shown us, the stories you tell. I Calypso, I sing to your spirit, the men who have served you so long and so well.
dolphin who guides you. You bring us beside you to light up the darkness and show us the way. For though we are strangers in your silent world, to live on the land we must learn from the sea. To be true as the tide, free as a wind swell, joyful and loving in letting it be. I glimpse all the places you've been to, the things that you've shown us, the stories you tell.
My guest this week is Marlene Masker on My Tunes. We've covered a lot of ground, Marlene, but there's a big one that I want to tackle today, because you've been singing Man in Folk with Dillis for years, the lovely duo. Gosh, you've been so popular with that. Everything you've been doing in the conservation world is fantastic. And then up comes politics. You go in to the Legislative Council. Was there a particular driver for that, or was it building?
It was a few strands coming together at the same time. I had retired. I went to work for Ramsey Town Commissioners and ended up as their property and housing manager, and I was with them for just approaching 10 years. But I retired. I thought, no, I can do that now. But there was one day in my back garden, and I love my house and my garden, and I thought, I just looked up at the sunshine and I thought, I don't know that this is me for the rest of my days. I've still got more to give back. I was at that time on the planning committee and I was really enjoying that. But when LegCo came along, I thought I can bring skills from having worked inside the civil service and government in local authority in housing, because working in local authority housing opened my eyes to the needs that others have that maybe I had been a little bit ignorant of. And I thought, no, I'll have a go. And I also worked in sheltered housing and was the manager and the clerk for sheltered in the north, that drew together all the northern parishes and sheltered housing based in Ramsey. I thought, hopefully I can be a voice that's not maybe been there before. And then when I did get in, I got into LegCo on the Tuesday, and my now husband retired as a GP on the Friday. But he was so supportive. And, you know, he said, if you feel this is your vocation and you're successful, I'll support you right up to the hilt. And we'd been together for about 12 years then. But then, having never thought we would marry, the time had come when it just seemed to be the right time. Yeah.
And why not? Why not? I mean, so you've been together a long time.
And brought our families up. He's got two gorgeous adult boys and I've got three children. And they knew one another, which was great as well.
Do you find yourself drawn to conservation issues, particularly through LegCo? Is that a role that you've taken on in there?
I'm a voice. And you may have heard I asked a question in Tynwald at the last sitting about conservation areas and timing and reappraising them. I've also been appointed, it'll be to be part of the Housing and Communities Board, and I hope I'll be able to make a really good contribution there, because I've been out talking to other bodies that might be interested in coming and helping us with the information we're trying to get all in one place. For instance, the Manx Development Corporation, who are tasked with trying to repurpose existing buildings or looking at developing brownfield sites. And again, we talk about embodied carbon and upgrading buildings rather than just demolition. So I'm a voice in that regard. I've taken some important pieces of legislation through too, the landlord registration through LegCo, and helped in DOI in that regard, and Road Traffic Amendment Bill. And also, I have a background, I've sailed all my adult life as well. So I have an interest in what's going on in the maritime world too. So I chaired the Harbours Strategy Review Committee. So because I'm that little bit mature, I've come through from a very varied background, but I have an awful lot that I hope I can add to the rich mix. And we've got a new administration, which is really exciting. Great, great people that have come to join Tynwald. And I think I really enjoy being part of that complex team and being able to help.
You're not slowing down, are you?
I'm working. I can be honest. Even though I've been professional, I had three children with great support. I had to have a nanny. The Kenish family from Up Andrews, I'm saying a thank you to
well
them.
Done.
They're part of our family. But since I've come into LegCo, I've worked as hard, if not harder.
Yeah.
And especially, we thought Brexit was going to be a big challenge. The COVID experience, no one could have envisaged the work that every person on this Isle of Man, but whether in or outside government, has had to go the extra mile. And I've been glad I've been in there, but my goodness, no one could have envisaged the way we now can work and the long hours that you'd have to do. But I've been privileged to be able to do that. And we're still doing it, but not hopefully to the same intense experience and extent. And I'd like to think that we've learned lessons and we can go forward and help everyone in our community cope with this terrible virus that, you know, we listened to Sir John Vantan over Christmas in the Royal Institution lectures, who explained that the character and the nature of the virus in a very clear way. And I would urge anyone to look at that. But we are going to have to live with it.
Yeah.
Every day. Yeah.
Still singing?
Yes.
Still loving it?
Love it. If I know I've got to sing, I've got to spend a longer time warming up.
Yeah.
But love it.
Well, we love hearing you.
Thank
we love
you.
Hearing
thank
you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Let's have final track of the week.
My final track takes me full circle, really. My dad, he sang. His whole family, most of them sang. But he loved Nat King Cole, as I did alongside him. And then when Marius and I got married, we got married, just a small affair, but just our close family, 25 of us, I think, we got married at Chatsworth House at Christmas time.
Beautiful.
So you can imagine it was just so special with all our family around us. And as I walked into the ceremony, I came in, I've got goosebumps now thinking about it, to Nat King Cole singing When I Fall in Love.
Perfect choice. Thank you.
Thank you so
much. For being with us. And let's get you back in to do some singing before too long as well.
Well, yeah, we'll talk to Dillis and I'm sure we'll be able to.
I think we should we should revisit that.
Thank you so much, Mark.
It's been great. It's
been great. I've really enjoyed it.
Love is ended, before it's begun. And too many moonlight kisses seem to cool in the warmth of the sun. When I give my heart, it will be completely, or I'll never give my heart. And the moment I can feel that, that way too, is when I fall in love with you. The moment I can feel that, you feel that way too, is when I fall in love with you.
Thank you, Marlene, for a fantastic week and four wonderful musical choices. Marlene Masker has been my guest. And thank you for joining us right here at manxradio.com. I'm Mark Tiley. And if you can pop in to the Shore Morning Show anytime, Monday to Friday, 9:30 to 12, that'd be great as well. Catch you soon for more podcasts right here at manxradio.com.